Since the earliest days of the church, Christians have professed belief in God as a Trinity, with a classical understanding of God as three distinct persons with one divine nature. The roots of this belief are actually found in Scripture, in both the Old and the New Testaments. In the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, it is clear that creation is the work of each person of the Trinity. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, we are told that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. These words reveal the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit as part of creation. In the prologue of John's Gospel, we read of Christ, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten Son of the Father." We are also told of Christ, "He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him." So let's go back to the book of Genesis. Creation comes about by God's word. He speaks creation into being. For example, we are told that God said, speaks the word, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Or, "God said, let dry land appear," and it was so. These words reveal the presence and activity of Jesus as part of creation. Later in the book of Genesis, when God creates man and woman, he says, "Let us make them in our image after our likeness." Notice how God refers to himself in the plural, which again affirms the reality of the Trinity. In the New Testament, the Holy Trinity is further revealed. In the Gospel of Luke, you may recall, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she has been chosen by God to bear a son through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the child to be born is to be called the Son of God. Just before Jesus begins his public ministry at his baptism, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we are told that the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven declares Jesus as my beloved Son. And finally, in the gospel reading we just heard from Matthew, just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus commissions the apostles to go forth and to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All of these passages clearly proclaim God as a Trinity. Later, as part of sacred tradition, the Holy Trinity was professed as a dogma of the church, most notably at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. The Nicene Creed, which we will profess in a few moments, comes from that council. And the creed affirms the Trinity. We will say, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son." So there we have it. In sacred scripture and sacred tradition, comes belief in the Holy Trinity. Now, over the years, various images have been used to try to teach the Trinity. We're all familiar with how St. Patrick took a three-leaf clover and used it to show three persons equal and united in one nature. We also may be familiar with St. Augustine, who described the Holy Trinity in form of their relationship with one another. He recalled the words of the first epistle of John from the New Testament that said simply, God is love. And Augustine took that and he said, there are then three realities to love. There is the lover, the one who loves. There's the beloved, the one who receives the love. And then there's the love itself. So he transferred that to the Holy Trinity. God the Father is the lover, the one who gives love. Jesus is the beloved. He receives the love of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the love between them. Still, no analogy or image can capture the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Three distinct persons, one divine nature, equal and united. That's hard to grasp. It's a mystery. We can't explain it. We can't explain it because it is a mystery. And that's okay. You know, St. Augustine once famously said, if you understand God, it's not God. For us, the issue is not understanding the mystery. We accept that as a matter of faith. For us, the issue is our awareness of the mystery of the Trinity. And that is why the Catechism of the Catholic Church emphasizes the place of the Trinity in the faith and life of the Church. The Catechism uses both of those words, the faith and the life of the Church. I want to briefly look at that from two perspectives. The Trinity is central to our prayer. We begin our prayers even by making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In church tradition, we believe that we pray to the Father through the intercession of Jesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is very much a part of our prayer, whether we're aware of it or not. As well, how we image God influences how we pray. There are some people who can relate much easier to Jesus. There are some people who focus more on the Father. There are some people who are more conscious of the Holy Spirit. And that may be who is central in their prayer. That's okay. You're still praying to God because all three are God. The second thing, the second perspective is the Trinity is relevant for our lives based on these words from the book of Revelation, which states that God was and is and always will be. These words remind us of the perpetual presence and providence of God in our lives, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Knowing that God is always with us, knowing that God always loves us, knowing that God always provides for us, that should fill us with consolation, encouragement, strength, and hope, which is particularly essential as we try to navigate ourselves through tough times. Our task in relation to the Holy Trinity is, number one, be aware of the presence of God. Whichever member of the Trinity we closely identify with, be aware of the presence of God. Number two, discern in any given circumstance what God might be saying or what God might be doing or what God might want from us. We should constantly be in a mode of discernment. Number three, then based on that discernment, we articulate what our response to God should be. What is it that God wants from us? And then we offer that response to God. In doing that, awareness, discernment, and response, we remain connected to the Trinity, and the Trinity remains active in our lives. So today, we affirm our belief in the Holy Trinity, and we celebrate the place of the Holy Trinity in our lives. As we do so, let us embrace the truth of these words of St. Catherine of Siena. She once said, "You, eternal Trinity, are a deep sea. The more I enter you, the more I discover. The more I discover, oh, the more I seek you."